Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, and I could not be more pleased to have with me Grace Bell, who is a powerhouse in her own right. She's certified in the work of Byron Katie. But she also has much, much to add in her own right. And we're going to be talking about today, we're going to talk about peace and creating peace in your life. And I feel like this is a topic that doesn't really get talked about enough in our crazy busy world. And we talk about being successful and whatever that means and doing a lot of stuff, but we don't think a lot about peace. I don't think that often. And the idea of creating peace in your life. So I'm really excited to have Grace on with me. She has her own wonderful podcast as well that I'm hoping we'll talk about a little bit later in the episode as well. Grace Bell, thank you for joining me on Creating Change.
I love to be here, Doug. This is so great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So yes, and we've never spoken before, ever, right? I just met you.
Yeah, I have no idea who this guy is.
I've had the pleasure of getting to know you over, really, it's been like 2 years, I think.
I know. It's been fantastic. Yeah. Love our conversations. Yeah. Really wonderful.
So let's start with this idea, first of all, of peace. And I'm kind of flipping this script on you because I think this is a question you've been asking people, but I want to ask you this question about what does peace mean to you?
Isn't that such a great topic? It's my favorite topic, really. When you get down to it. I mean, it's like, it seems to me, I mean, that word peace is so often what somebody is wanting, what I certainly wanted, what I still want day to day, you know, and I notice kind of after, it's just that it's a lot of my experience now in life is so much different than it once was. But it was like this thing called peace is like a quietness or somehow even a sense of all calm. I mean, you know, like the opposite of war, right?
Right.
It's even a sense that when the way I look at it is no matter what's going on in life, which is incredibly changeable. I mean, the content of our life is constantly moving and switching and surprising us and changing and not really the way ever we plan. And, but to have some kind of sense of relaxation in the middle of all that, no matter what's going on, that's something I used to long for and think was impossible. And that's what the deepest sense of peace means to me now is, having some kind of feeling that all is well, even though that sounds kind of cheesy and like, you know, light. It's not really meant that way. It's like that there's really even having a sense of what I can do something about and accepting what I can't, you know, and just operating that way with having access to that, like moving back to that in a way that is different than living life like thinking peace is just not entirely here and I have to do something to get it.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, as you say that, I think about, I mean, I don't think this is stepping too far out to say that I think a lot of us have this idea of peace as it's what I get on my vacation when I go to the Bahamas once a year and I don't have to think about my job and my stupid partner and, you know,
right.
and my friends and everybody else. And I can go to the beach and I can be by myself and kick my feet up, you know, in the sand and I can finally be at peace. Can you say a little bit about, do I have to wait, you know, till I'm on a tropical island to have
right. peace? Right. Oh, I love that. It's so funny because no, I mean, you don't. Because I mean, like, you know, except for our thoughts will say that we do. I mean, often, or there's all these, you know, I even think of it as the top hits of the human condition about where we think peace will be. It's like that, you know, if I get the right partner or the best body or my health back, or the family the right way, or the thing that I, you know, an item that I want, or a great house or something, enough money, you know, being on that island, or less time, not having to deal with my boss. So there's all these things. If this thing happens, then I will be peaceful. But what does that make the rest of your time? You know, like, it's so funny that I love that vacation picture, because it's kind of like, wow, then that's sort of a depressing view of life, that, you know, once or twice a year, I'm on a vacation somewhere, and that's where I'm peaceful. And the rest of the time, not so much. And then also people notice when they actually go on that vacation, they finally get to the tropical island. Ooh, a little boring or something. You
know? Right.
What do I do right. now?
That's right. That's right.
Like, yeah. Kind of funny, right? Yeah. Still not peaceful.
it's still not peaceful. You know, my friend Dennis Palumbo always talks about how, you know, no matter what, you can go to the middle of the woods in a cabin with no one around, and you could sit there by yourself, but you're still going to be with yourself. And that you can't really, this idea, you know, nobody really escapes the human condition, that sooner or later, it's going to be you and your thoughts. And it doesn't matter where you are, if, you know, you can't escape yourself.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. You know, it's so funny. I sometimes tell this story in little workshops and retreats that I do, but in my 20s, I began to have this real huge crisis. I mean, it just manifested in so many ways, but early, or kind of even late teens, it started on. And when I went to college at first, I was majoring in comparative religion, because it was like, somebody, you know, who's talking about like philosophy of how to live? I need the information. And I was just taking all just every kind of class you could on that, but then dropped out of college. And then I got this idea. I know, I'll go live at the family cabin. I'll ask my parents if I can go up there. They had this family cabin that we grew up.
Oh, that's awesome. You really had a cabin.
Yeah, we really had a cabin, and it was shared with another family. And so two families got together and bought this, my parents, real good friends. And I'm like, you know, sort of got that whole thing sorted out. So it was okay that I go up and stay there. And I had my dad drop me off with my bicycle and my bags and my backpack so I could go on little hikes and stuff. 3 days later, I'm like, can you come pick me up? It was so, I love that I gave myself that experience so young, because it was so obvious that I was being tortured by my own thinking, that it did not matter, you know, if I was in the woods, if I was literally in the woods, like you just said with your friend Dennis. Wow, like the intensity that came in of fear and loneliness, and what am I going to do with my life? I shouldn't have just dropped out of college. I mean, it was like, I felt like I couldn't even sleep well, and it's just totally quiet in the woods. I was scared, you know, and yeah, I had my dad come pick me up. 3 days.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's you know, there's a quote from, I think it's in like 12 step program. It says, my mind is a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Do you have any tips for listeners? If, let's say, you know, I'm in the middle of my life, like I can't get away to the cabin. And like you said, even if I could get away to the cabin, that doesn't really solve the problem. I guess maybe to start off with, like, what would be a first step towards finding and creating more peace in my life if I'm feeling really stressed out and I'm feeling really overwhelmed?
Yeah, such a good question. There's two things that I think of, two ways that I've approached this with myself, but sort of areas. One is to get in touch more closely with the feeling. You know, there's thought, like we just said, we were just joking about the mind. Oh my God, you know,
yes.
And it's all my thoughts coming in. I mean, I'm in a beautiful cabin in the woods, but I'm, you know, depressed and anxious and fearful. This is all in the mind. You know, it's like just the images that we see. What does that even mean? The mind, it's like picturing where I'm going or what kind of mistakes I've made or bad things that could happen about life or whatever. And just this constant kind of busyness to be more in touch with the feeling of the body, and that the mind isn't always right. You know, it's not always true. Like, you know, the way they say picture a pink elephant in the room, and then there's some like little thing about picturing pink elephants, but right now the pink elephant is really not in the room. You know, I was told
never to think of the pink elephant.
Yeah. Don't think of the pink elephant. And the thing is, even if you think of the pink elephant, it is actually not in the room.
No, it's not.
So it's sort of seeing, well, what is in the room? You know, that isn't just the mind and all its imagination, which is incredible, incredible capacity to imagine, but sort of to feel the body, you know, like feel it's sort of, everyone can kind of get like, if you said, where are my thoughts? You point to your head. Right. Sort of feels like there's this energy up here, and then there's the body, like from the neck down, it's, you know, kind of doing its thing. And to get a sense more of that, the feeling of, I like the question, you know, how does this room feel? How does this moment feel? And I know you can, when you feel really scared, you said this moment feels frightening, but to just sit more with what you're body is feeling, I guess. It's like sort of a sense of being here.
Yeah.
That's the one place sure. that I've gone. And I'm, you know, kind of, and my relationship over time to feeling has really changed. It's sort of like sometimes people hesitate to, I don't know if I want to feel everything that's going on right now. So the other place is to actually look at the stuff that you're thinking that you feel so scared about and see what it is, you know, like spend some time with it. Actually, instead of trying to avoid it or get away from it as fast as possible, like distract yourself quick. Don't look behind the curtain. Yeah. My favorite thing to do is to write, to journal, to write, or that's where I think therapeutic relationships come in to have such a wonderful, way of connecting for people because they're sharing what their fears are with another person and they can hear themselves talk or hear the reflections back, you know, from somebody. And it's like, you're really looking to see what you think is real and true and worthy of being concerned with. And by exploring it there, by exploring that mind and what it's stressed about, you find that maybe it's not all true what you're thinking. So those two areas, feeling more, but then also looking and seeing what you feel, what's the worst that could happen, you know, like spend some time there.
Well, that's really interesting because the piece I think about is that a lot of times I feel like the reason that we don't drop down into our bodies is that we don't want to feel what we're feeling. And that a lot of what we do is escape, right? You know, like, yeah. We're going to talk in a little bit about eating, right? And different things, but all the things that we can do to escape, to get away from those feelings.
Yes.
But what I hear you saying in this is that the way to peace is through those feelings.
Absolutely. I mean, feelings, I realized there was some point along in those very early on, like I think age 19, I took this Myers-Briggs personality test, right?
Yep.
And it talks about whether you're an introvert or an extrovert or a feeling or a thinker.
Yes.
And you don't have to know much about that in this moment to know, like, there's just this thinking and feeling, like everyone kind of gets two different ways of being, you know, or that we all have access to either one of those. And it seems like to me, I came out an F, like a feeler. And I was like, oh shoot, it's better to be a thinker. Like, that's what I thought. You know, it's sort of like feelings, having strong feelings, you know, being too emotional, have a really bad rap. It's like, don't want that. You know, we don't want that. People that go off, like, you know, you think about somebody who's super angry or really sad or, you know, I mean, I remember noticing, wow, I have a lot of judgment about feeling. You know, if somebody starts to cry in the movie in the next row, I'm like, God.
Stop being such a...
yeah.
Stop being such a babe.
Yeah, right. Just a movie. Jesus. Yeah. And I could just tell that I had, you know, a lot of like that criticism or resistance to feeling. And yeah. Just like relax with that a little bit. Not, maybe it's there for a reason, you know, this sense of whatever feelings, and especially the things that get a bad rap, of course, are not happiness.
No.
It's usually fear, sad, you know, upset, something where I feel upset. And then I think, oh my God, I can't be upset. I want to get back to happy. So, then just skipping over, let's not actually feel the thing. Let's try to get away from it. It's just so common. And that, boy, speaking about eating peace, that's what I used to do.
Well, that's what I was, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that is, I wanted to kind of segue to that for a moment, because I know you do a lot of work with this, is, yeah, what for you is the connection between eating, I know you run a program called Eating Peace. Yeah, what do you find is the connection between eating and peace?
Yeah, it's such a reaction to that deep wanting to avoid those feelings that seem unpeaceful. You know, it's almost like if I'm really sad or very angry, anger especially, like fearful, you know, and fearful, I just want to get away from that. And so there's just so many options for getting away from feelings.
There sure are, aren't there?
Yes. I mean, boy, they could come up with, you know, lots of good possibilities. But eating was one that for me, it just started really young. And I think that with people that I work with, it's often a very young, early, because food is accessible to us really young. Like, you know, when you're 8 years old, you're usually not thinking about, I think I'll go smoke.
Right.
I mean, sometimes people, when you're eight, you're watching people around you smoke or drink or use drugs or do things to escape. But it's, but eating food is available to you. Yeah. And so I didn't really get weird with food so much until really later, like teenage years, later teens, which is common, you know, it sort of heightens. But I feel like when I look at my life, it was building a lot earlier, a lot before I actually started sort of binge eating, or, you know, like something really was off balance there. And I'm sure I spent many times, you know, thinking about food and feeling like, wow, I'll just go get something to eat instead of feel sad.
And isn't it amazing how the things we do to make ourselves, to escape our feelings, oftentimes, I think my experience has been that it just makes it worse, right? It's the very thing, the escape, it's like the cure becomes worse than the problem.
Oh, yeah. You've got a new extra problem. Now you still have the original thing that you're upset about happening, and now you have the new thing on top of it. So there you are, you know, you're eating while feeling bad.
Right, you know? Right. And it reminds me of the line in Leaving Las Vegas. I think it was the first line in Leaving Las Vegas. And Nicolas Cage looks at the camera and he says, I can't remember if I started drinking because my wife left me or my wife left me because I started drinking. You know?
Yes.
You've got,
right.
Yeah. Because it's a monster.
Oh, such a monster. Which is really, that too is what happened with me later. Like in my 20s, you know, I became bulimic. I had this 2-year period where my strategy was to control it so tightly. No, I will never binge again. So I quit and I was starving myself and I went into the hospital even. So that I called my anorexic period, even though I probably wasn't as thin as some people get when they're at death's door with anorexia, but practically. And you know, that everything was about, this is my problem, this eating thing. And it is funny how it just gets to be so magnified. But really, I sometimes will say I had an intimacy problem. Intimacy with myself, like intimacy with these feelings, you know, not wanting to be who I was and definitely not wanting to be in the body. It's like I had an objection. Wait a minute. I don't want to be in this body. I don't want to feel these things. It's going to be terrible if I do. Just, you know, stay away from that.
And that's a big theme of what I hear you saying, which I think is counterintuitive, that our ability, that far from peacefulness, meaning the ability to just wipe out your mind and lay at the beach and get rid of all the negativity in your life, quote unquote. It sounds like part of what you're saying is to really drop into your body and to actually allow yourself, allowing ourselves to be with some feelings that might include some discomfort is the way through to peace. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, there are beautiful things written these days about so many people have had spiritual insights and, you know, awakenings and kind of a path of people who meditate. And it's sometimes there's this, you know, if I just kind of get what these spiritual teachers are saying or do it this right way, I'm going to be able to kind of hop over the thing that feels that I'm actually scared of, which is feeling loss or grief, or that I was terrified of something that happened, you know, or, and that might happen again or something, you know, like just that these feelings, they won't kill you, but it might not be easy or comfortable. Like you said, a lot of discomfort, but it's going to be a lot shorter. I think at least I just kept noticing there'd be this really uncomfortable period. Like I was in one thing that was just magnificent for me was doing a group therapy. I was doing this in my 20s, and you know, we had to actually, if somebody started bugging you in the group, you know, like you had really contact with that person that was like what shows up in your daily life. I like that in group therapy, there's about 10 personalities you get to deal with. And so probably somebody is going to irritate you, or the things that are your triggers are going to happen in there. And I just loved that those experiences had happened in that little group therapy microcosm of life for me. I was, you know, so that I had to go through this heart beating and my face red and feeling super embarrassed and talking about what I never would want to say out loud to somebody right there in the group and living through it, you know, and you find out that you kind of can do that. It is no longer necessary to distract yourself with compulsive behavior. I mean, I just found wanting to eat compulsively just became a non-issue.
That's beautiful. As you were able to tolerate and work through that discomfort, it sounds like it became a non-issue for you.
Yes. Incredible.
I want to make sure, believe it or not, it's almost time to wrap up here, but I want to make sure one question I was ask you, this is kind of a big question, but maybe you can give me the Cliff's Notes answer to this. Is peace something that we find once and for all, in your opinion, or is it something that or is it an ongoing process or something else?
Ooh, what a great question. I would say both, interestingly. The sort of once and for all idea is like, I've stepped through the door and now,
nothing can ever bother me again.
Right. That, not so much, maybe, you know, because I think just being alive is just so interesting and unusual, and we never know, you know, what's going to happen really next week or next year, that, you know, and then there's death at the end of it, right? We're all here temporarily. But I do think there can be a sense of a connection with all as well, that is actually, you know, just as the minute you check in on the inside and close your eyes for a moment or feel it or kind of, you know, just get access, drop in to yourself. That's there. I mean, I just have it all the time. It's awesome. I'm not even sure how that happened, except for wanting to find peace so badly. I freaked myself out.
That's really beautiful. I think that's really beautiful. This idea that you really can step through a door where on the other side, you can access that at any time.
Yeah.
That would have been a great question for me to ask you before we had 3 minutes left. we'll have to bring you back to continue that conversation. I do want to make sure in the time that we have left, just to let people know, first of all, how they can reach you. The workwithgrace.com, is that correct?
Yes, workwithgrace.com. So just workwithgrace.com. And there's stuff on my website. And the work with
Grace
me.
Notes? Including
yes,
Grace Notes.
Yes, including Grace Notes. Yeah.
Which is really fantastic. You have daily reflections, right?
Yes, on all these things that usually disturb peace, and then moving back to peace out of those. Kind of humorous and fun, and I get lots of mail about my grace notes, and those are just free. Somebody can sign up and just get them in their email inbox.
Grace Bell, thank you so much. Like I said, we'll have to continue the conversation, but thank you so much for coming on, talking about such an important topic on creating change. Really appreciate it.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Well, thanks, everyone. Remember, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.